we've been going through the book of Joshua, and as the children of Israel have come out of Egypt and crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land, we've talked about how that is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. They were baptized in the Spirit, if you will, as they crossed the Jordan, and now they're living, well, not quite living in the Promised Land yet. They're fighting battles now, but the picture is that they're now walking and living in and by the Spirit. And something that hit me today when I was reading through chapter 10, and we'll finish chapter 10, Lord willing, next week. But something that we will see in chapter 10, and as we continue reading, we just see it the whole time. This is kind of the theme of the rest of the book of Joshua. That is victory. There's something about the Spirit-filled life that leads to victory in one's life. And of course, we're not now just only talking about the Jews, although they saw that victory, winning, and they're going to continue to see that. But this also very much applies to us believers. Those of us who have accepted the work of the cross, saved by grace through faith, we now have the opportunity to cross the Jordan River, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to say, Lord, I want you to work and move in and through me. And that's as simple as it is. We try to complicate things as the church or as believers or as Bible students, and we like to make the things of the Holy Spirit odd. We like to laugh at YouTube videos, which some of them we should be laughing at, of people flopping around on the floor because they're filled with the Holy Spirit, or laughing uncontrollably, or swinging from things, or passing poisonous snakes around and saying that the Holy Spirit is protecting us. These are odd acts. These are not things that are of the Holy Spirit at all. They're perversions of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit's job is to always point to the person of who? Jesus, always. If somebody claims to be acting in the Spirit of God, and yet they're the result of that action is taking away from the Lord, from distracting away from Jesus at all, it's just not. There's no weirdness when it comes to Jesus. There is power, and there is victory, and there are things that, manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are real. But again, always should be pointing to Jesus. So as we see these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we also see that power that comes with the Holy Spirit. And you can see that in a Christian's life as well. Check out Joshua 10, just verse 42, right at the end. All these kings and their land Joshua took at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. What's that? Well, the children of Israel didn't fight for themselves at all. They didn't win any battles. They didn't defeat anyone, but instead it says they fought and they won following Joshua because God himself was fighting for them. I wonder how much we miss out, and that's what I was thinking this morning when I was reading this. How much do I miss out on victory in my life? What does that look like? What is victory in a person's life? Well, it kind of depends. It could be all kinds of things. Does it mean financial success and peace and prosperity for the rest of your life? No. Not necessarily. But what it does mean is that we should see movement in our lives as Christians. If we're walking with the Lord, we should see God breaking down walls, like the walls of Jericho, in our lives. We should see the things that we struggle with being defeated over time. And it's something that God has to do in us, and he has to be the one fighting the battle. But there should be, in the Spirit-filled Christian, victory. And I was just struggling with the Lord, if you would, and to a small degree. Lord, where's the victory in my life? Where's my victory? How come I just feel beat down all the time? And I was thinking that perhaps there's somebody in here who is feeling beat down by their life. Whatever it is that is going on now, whatever has been continually coming at you, you feel beat, you feel smacked down, and you feel like you can't get up, and that no victory is in sight. But the encouragement of the word tonight is that victory can come, And it can come even when we don't expect it to. Hey, Kai. No, no, you're fine. Have a seat. How? How do we receive victory in our life? Ask. That's it. We're told in the scripture that the Lord gives his spirit to anyone who asks. It's not more complicated than that. We like to make it more complicated. We like to think that we need to go through huge amounts of pain and struggle before we can see victory, before we can come out on the other side. But the Lord knows nothing of that. Sometimes there is pain associated with life, sure. But how do we see victory in our life? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me the power and the strength to overcome these things that are coming at me, whether it's the enemy in an internal way, or whether it's family, friends, hardships, your car breaks down, trees fall on your stuff when the wind's blowing, whatever it is. It just seems like I've noticed in my life that struggles come all at once. Everything seems to just keep coming and coming, and it doesn't let up. It's like you just feel like you're never going to see victory. I'm never going to get through to the other side. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I would argue there is. And that power, that strength, the ability to come through with victory is God. Just to say, Lord, I need you to fight the battle. I need you to take this thing from me. I need you to give me the words to say in love when I don't feel like being loving. It has to be the Lord. We can try to do good. We can try to succeed. But it's never going to work out. It just isn't, if we're doing it on our own power and on our own strength. So maybe that's something tonight, as we're singing some songs and as we're just spending some time in worship, you want to talk to the Lord about that. Just say, Lord, I am lacking power. What do we need to do? Ask for that power. Ask for his spirit to come upon us. That's something that you can do, and you can do it tonight. You don't have to wait. You don't have to complete a list of tasks before God will ascend or descend upon you. So think about that, pray about that. Maybe that's for you. Maybe it's something to store away for a later time. But hey, Roberto, just think about that. Maybe ask the Lord if you're missing something, missing some power that he wants you to have in your life. He's good. He wants us to do well. And all we have to do is ask. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for that fact that you do care about us, that you do love us, and that you want us to do well. Lord, you want us to see victory, not just eternally when we die to go to heaven, but before then. You want us to do well on earth. Not that we'll be comfortable by our standards, but Lord, that we will have victory by yours. I pray that the sinful things that tie us down, that bind us, Lord, would be overcome by you as we study your word, as we talk to you, and as your Holy Spirit comes upon us. We pray that you would bless this time as we worship you, as we take communion. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for the next about half an hour, that's quite a bit of time, we're going to sing some worship songs. And this is a time when you can kind of do what you feel you're being led to do. That is, you can sing, you can stand, you can kneel, you can sit, you can lift up your hands. We were talking about rolling around in the aisles and all that stuff. The things that I just described are postures we see in Scripture when people are worshiping God. Going to their knees, lifting up their hands, lifting up their eyes. These are good things to do. And that's why, you know, we kind of stick to the Bible, because otherwise we would come up with all kinds of weird stuff to do. But we can, just by lifting up our hands, surrendering, showing reverence, just spending real quality time with the Lord tonight. You can do that. And even if you haven't been to a Bible study, you haven't opened your Bible, you haven't talked to God for years or ever, you can come to him tonight and he will meet you right where you are. And that's the amazing thing about the God that we serve, is because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, we have the opportunity to just enter into his presence here in this kid's wing with animals painted on the wall, and it's kind of too hot and it kind of smells weird. It doesn't matter where we are or what the circumstance. If we ask God to meet with us, he will. That's a promise. I love that. So take advantage of that. Spend time with Jesus. There's also some communion elements back in that back left corner by the lion's tail on the stool there. And when we start worship here in a second, Daniel will go uncover that for us. But go as you want to. Get up from your seat. Go grab some matzo bread. Grab a cup. And you can take it back to your seat if you want. You can go anywhere in the kids' lobby here if you want. But just spend some time with the Lord. What's the point of communion? Is it a ritual? No, hopefully not. Although it's something we do regularly. Why? Because Jesus said to. Jesus told us to do this often in remembrance of him. What are we remembering? The work of the cross. As we take of the matzah bread, we remember his body that was beaten, that was hung on that cross. And the idea is that it was hung in our place. We should have paid and should pay the penalty for our sin, which is death, eternal death. But instead, Jesus hung on that cross, taking our sin and our punishment upon himself, even though he was sinless. And that's important, too. He was sinless. So, bless you, by the way. The second thing is the cup. And that, of course, is a picture of the blood of Christ. So from those wounds that were inflicted upon his body, his blood poured. And we call it, as Christians, the precious blood of Jesus. What's so precious about his blood? It just sounds like Halloween style when you start talking about precious blood. But it is absolutely precious, because without the blood of Christ, which we know cleanses our sin, we have no hope of heaven or no hope of experiencing real joy when you think about it. And that's why we take these elements. And as you do that, just identify with the work of the cross. Identify that Jesus took your place. That's important. It's not something to be taken lightly, but it is something to be done often, giving it real reverence. And another thing that's great to do at this time is just confess sin. If you haven't confessed some sin in your life, this is a great opportunity just to give it over to the Lord. It doesn't have to be in any specific way. Just say, Lord, I have sinned in this area. I'm sorry. Thank you for cleansing my sin and help me to not continue in that sin. That's it. Simple. Father, you are awesome. You're worthy of our worship. And Lord, you care about us, not just to the point of dying on the cross for our salvation, but daily, Lord, you want to be a part of our lives. You even care about the things that we think are just our problem and we shouldn't bother you with our small issues. But Lord, we know that instead you truly do care about every part of our lives. I pray that we'd be those who turn our lives over to you completely. We know that that is not an easy thing to do, but I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, we would be those who walk and live according to your word, Lord, according to the plan that you've laid out for us individually. We love you. We thank you for meeting us here as you always do. You're so faithful. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would go with each and every one of the people in this room, and that as we walk out into the world this week, Lord, that you would just cover us, Lord, that you would give us the words to speak and especially give us smiles on our faces because of what you've done. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.